Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sustainable Finance Podcast. My name is Paul Ellis, and I'm your host for these programs about developments in this fast-growing industry. Monica Likama and Denise Johansson are the co-CEOs and co-founders at Infuse, a payment card issuer and processing powerhouse which is challenging the global payment industry to go beyond compliance with the recent launch of the Fortitude Pledge, a bold new compliance and security standard. The pledge aims to eliminate 100% of financial crime risk across all Infuse processed card transactions. Infuse believes that stopping 100% of human trafficking, money laundering, and terrorist financing is not optional. It's essential to create a sustainable 21st century business model and a direct commitment to UN Sustainable Development Goal number 16. My podcast guests today are co-CEOs and co-founders at Infuse, and I'm very pleased to have Monica Likama and Denise Johansson join me for this important conversation. Hello, Monica and Denise, and welcome to the Sustainable Finance Podcast.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yes, it's a great pleasure to have you joining me today, because I'm fascinated by what you're doing with this whole programming and pledge in the card industry. So let's just jump right into the questions that we have and find out initially what inspired Infuse to launch the Fortitude Pledge.
Well, I think it's pretty simple. We were born out of compliance. So again, being born out of the Nordics and particularly Finland, compliance mindset is something that we are kind of given already at birth, more or less. But of course, us both being old bankers, really focusing on compliance as a unique selling point has been in the DNA. And I start then taking it to the next level with the Fortitude Pledge was actually just a normal move for us, just leveling up.
I would add to that we do see some headlines about payment fraud when it goes really bad by the biggest player within the industry. But a fact is that fraud and terrorist financing thereby happens every day and among any card portfolio out there. So we think that it's not aired enough. We don't think that there is transparency towards consumers what fraud is really all about. And we think that the industry gets by having this as some compliant tick box a little too easy. And we believe that the industry as a whole can do more and can do better. And therefore, we want to pledge the whole industry on this topic.
That's terrific. I'm so excited that you're beginning this kind of process. And let's talk for a moment now about how the Fortitude Pledge is aligned with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goal number 16 in particular, which is designed to promote just, peaceful, and inclusive societies. Now, why did you choose to focus on that particular goal? There are 17 to choose from, right? But this seems to be the one that fits your situation most effectively.
Yeah, I think from the early days, we worked with most of the SDGs, or very many. But then again, we were part of the UN SDG Ambition Program, and the whole concept of leveling up and committing to become even better was then something that we were really keen to do. And we've been part of various pledges ourselves. So for example, the Climate Pledge, and then of course the Global Compact from the UN side. And we really chose the SDG 16 because it reflects what fintech must deliver: strong institutions, transparent governance, and trust. And we really felt, as Denise explained earlier, that too many just try to be on the bare minimum. And for us as consumers and customers, we deserve better. We deserve really to understand how our payments actually affect the injustices of the world and how we can make it better. And that's why, in the end, it was an easy decision in this day, in this geopolitical climate, to really nail down on the SDG 16.
Denise, do you have anything to add?
No, I would say the Ambitions Program helped us understand how few globally is looking into what they can do for the SDG 16. So many look at what they can do in the societies where they operate fairness or like fair play, gender equality. But the SDG 16, many haven't looked into how could we contribute to that? Is it part of what our industries should be focusing on? So they helped us take a deep dive into the parts where many haven't been looking. And with Monica, we've always loved also challenges. So why haven't anyone looked into SDG 16? And what does it mean in practice? And is it something that we could commit to and that we could do more within? And then, as Monica said, starting to look into it, it felt so natural. Of course, this is where we should focus, and this is where we should get the whole industry to focus.
Okay, now, how does the Fortitude Pledge go beyond existing regulations? You're already in a highly regulated industry, and why is that necessary at this point, do you believe?
I think, first of all, most of the frameworks, that this is a very regulated industry, is very reactive. Everyone is trying to meet the regulators' requirements, which are often born reactive to problems. And I think Denise alluded to it in the earlier statements that we've seen a lot of challenges when it comes to money laundering, when it comes to really poor financial inclusions. And as such, we really wanted to have that. The whole idea of Fortitude equaling resilience, equaling responsible innovation. And in the end of the day, payments is really in the core of what we all do. I don't think anyone likes to pay, but everyone has to pay more or less. And really bringing that proactive governance, protective mindset has been a critical thing. And I do believe that, especially in the banking industry, because the comment we received from the UN when we chose SDG 16 was that they have never heard of a business pledging to really focus on the SDG 16. It's normally nations and governments. And from us being in the banking and payment side, like fighting injustice, really building fair structures, that's what payments and banking is all about. But then realizing that it's true, it's very reactive and it's always on the bare minimum side. And that was what we wanted to change. And also somehow this sense of not being very transparent, because we sometimes feel that if we actually talk about the challenges that are there within payments, so the fraud, the trafficking, like what payments are made for or used for when it comes to the bad stuff, that understanding that if we actually shared the learnings, the challenges, we could all become better. And that's how the Fortitude name came about, to pledge to become resilient together. And as such, as an output, have a more just world where payments actually do more good than harm.
Yes, because you learned into that we are a very regulated environment, and that is true. But we believe that we need to do more than just ask from us. So not only asking, will this put ourselves in the headlines on the newspapers, or is this legal? We should also ask ourselves, is this right? Can we do more? Can we do better? So the Fortitude Pledge closes the gap between regulation and then responsibility. So it's about holding ourselves to a higher standard before anyone else demands it from us. Let's not wait for the regulators to demand insights, to demand that we share openly, give transparency. Let's be ahead of the curve. And I also think by within the industry, the more transparent we are among each other, the better we will fight the bad things.
Yes, well, I'm certainly, as a consumer of this industry, very interested in what you're doing, because it seems like most of the news that we hear about this industry is on the negative side when it comes to how cards are misused, or how the privileges of having transaction cards is abused. And that's certainly something that we'd like to see a change in, right, across the industry as a whole. So we're really excited that you're stepping forward and making this pledge and encouraging other companies to do the same thing. So tell our followers what role financial institutions can play and how consumers can participate in this process directly.
So what we're really working now on is to find ways so that our customers, who are the ones who then have the end users, so the cardholders, how we can present them easily the data that they need to educate the consumers, so the users, so the cardholders, so like really making the data transparent and understandable, like educational pieces coming out that when you pay in these kind of locations, what is the outcome, so that we actually educate the consumer to make a choice that matters. Because I do think that in many cases, as an example, if you buy a handbag on the side of the street that you know is a fake one, how many people actually understand that there is very few steps from that fake handbag purchase or giving money to certain type of people asking for it on the street? How short the steps is for trafficked people, for actually then those money going into criminal activity ending up then in terrorist financing. So there are very few steps from that purchase with that payment instrument that actually has a devastating impact on many things. And it's not about scaring people, but it's just about educating, giving an easy way to make a good choice. And I think we've seen a lot of programs trying to do the same, especially when it comes to CO2 footprint. So we have a lot of calculators showcasing that if I buy this type of goods, what is the emissions that it emits? It's the same thinking that we are pushing now from educational perspective, just understanding that when I buy from these kind of shops like Shein in China, for example, really understanding what the consequences are making those payments. Because I do think that it's too easy for us as consumers or cardholders to also hide behind the illiteracy of understanding the impact. So making that data, that educational pieces, easy for our customers to put to their cardholders is something that we're also working on. And that's why we also pledge the industry, because again, the more of us who are doing, it's not a competitive advantage, it's an advantage for the world that is currently on fire. So that's what we want to do. And that's how it's going to become visible more and more also to the cardholders, so the users. And we also want to open up this whole dialogue so that we get the questions, we get the concerns, because we know we have the answers, but we don't even know what all the questions are. So talking about it is the first step of really getting a dialogue between us and the actual users.
Yeah. You know, Denise, Monica mentioned the fashion industry and a company in the fashion industry that produces a lot of knockoff kinds of garments, etc. And I'm curious as to know if you do surveys or ask your cardholders what kinds of purchases they're making that may be playing into those kinds of illegal processes in those industries, or if not illegal, then at least not sustainable processes for those industries over the long term. I think a lot of consumers don't think about that side of the business. It's not necessarily against the law these days, but a lot of over 65% of purchased garments end up in landfills and are not reprocessed and reused effectively. So is there any of that kind of education process going on?
Not on the survey side, as we do serve over 50 different card programs within our portfolio. But with the over 50 programs, we also serve beyond 20 million cards. And what we do get by doing the processing of the transaction earning is the big data. So we do see and we can make conclusions ourselves where our card being used, where do we see patterns from when card's been used somewhere, what's fraud is coming up next, and where are those cards affected. But as Monica said, how do we utilize this big data to educate the consumers? Because I don't think anyone want to do harm. And I think the CO2 emission is a great example of how powerful educating the consumers can be. Because first, when the CO2 calculators came out, it was like no one cares. No one understands the measurements. How do you judge what's good, what's bad? And no, you won't do that the first time you look at new data. But over time, it still gives you something, and it's somewhere in the back of your head, an idea is starting to build for yourself. And somewhere today now, I would say, are we 8-10 years in from the calculators? We have more and more aware consumers than ever before. So how can we start the same trend by utilizing the big data, by sharing the big data among the industry and see if we combine everyone's data, what could that mean? And how do we take it to consumers? How do we make them aware of the chain of goods or then the bad money? Where does it end up? And we don't have the answers for that. And that's why we want to come together with the industry to figure out these things, because we do think that the answers are out there, but we will have to put a lot of smart heads together to figure out the way forward.
Yes, and of course, today, artificial intelligence and new technologies are enabling us to review and process mountains of data that were very difficult to do before. And how is that kind of technology process involved in the work that you're doing as a card company, a processor?
Yeah, let me start here. I would say that it's giving us a lot more of headache, but it's also giving us the tools for the future, because the fraudsters, they are as well on the front end of utilizing new technology. So they are always ahead of the industry in finding new ways, building like new websites is popping up within seconds nowadays. And then you do the fraud that you have time to do before it's closed down and you go for the next one. That's the downside of the new technology. But on the other hand, we have more data to rely on. We see patterns so much faster than ever before. We can go down to the details of the data to understand from where it's actually coming from. So the fight against the fraudsters is picking up with higher speed than ever before as well. But it's definitely a race.
Yes.
yeah, I agree. And I think, again, it is our main focus really to utilize the capabilities we have. So from an MQ's perspective, being cloud native, building the high availability infrastructure that we have done, utilizing the strengths of it, because that means that we have the toolings And we have the community, especially around the AWS side, on really fighting the good fight, understanding where things are coming from, where the attack surfaces can be really limited. And as Denise said, and at the same time, all of the data to understand where payments are made and what the consequences are. And I do think also that some of our customers that we already have the programs, some are really focusing on making sure that they educate the customers. We have a really good case there on Iceland where one of our customers, the big mobile network operator, has also added a tool to give insights based on the data we provide. So they collaborate with one of our partners, Deedster, and that's really intended for the B2B customer to understand the impact of their payments. And I think all of these kind of collaborations are really the key. So it's not about fighting alone, but coming together and with a variety of tools, making sure that we fight the good fight. And I think that's why the pledge is so important, that really getting the like-minded together, talking about it, showcasing success factors, and then, of course, with that, making some sort of a FOMO for the other ones, that raising the bar means that mediocrity in this fight is not good enough.
So whether it's large banking institutions and other financial institutions or corporations that people are making purchases from, or even small businesses, local businesses, they're, what you're saying is you're helping them become educated and get more involved in this process through the Fortitude Pledge as well. Any last comments that you want to make about this process?
I think in general, that's a good comment, because it's about coming together, because we are in an inflection point that either we lead with responsibility or we lose the trust and relevance. And that's what we're focusing on.
Yeah, and I would say no matter where you look today, geopolitical situations, macroeconomic, like, we need to come together. We need to find a joint way forward, and this is a great pledge to gather among, because I'm 100% sure everyone is aligned with us in the ambitions within this pledge.
Terrific. Well, listen, thank you both, Monica and Denise, for your time today. I know you're very busy. Tell our followers where online the Sustainable Finance Podcast followers can go to learn more about Infuse and the Fortitude Pledge, and how can they get in touch with you with questions about the issues that we've discussed in today's episode.
Yes, so more than welcome to visit our webpage, infuse.com, and you will find more information there. And of course, reach out either through LinkedIn or then info@infuse.com, and we'll be happy to discuss more.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Monica and Denise. We look forward to having another conversation down the road as we'll follow up to today's program, and we're glad to welcome our followers to this episode and the next episode of the Sustainable Finance Podcast, which will be posted next week, drop next week. So my name's Paul Ellis, and this is the Sustainable Finance Podcast.